Hey, good morning, Sower Nation. It's Tuesday, October the 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2025. I'm John David Walt, and this is your wake-up call. Well, happy Tuesday to you, and happy Taco Tuesday to you, I should say. That's what I'm going to be going for today. Many of you will, too. We'll look forward to that. We got good work to do today. We're making our way through Luke's gospel. We are gospeling, friends. We're all the way up to chapter 14 of Luke. We're well past the halfway point now. We're not quite yet into the stretch. We're in the far turn. So, let's go for consecration today. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, our text today, our entry is entitled, Are You Too Busy? Here's the antidote. Our text is Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is Jesus talking. But he said to him, A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. The word of the Lord. Now, consider this. Are you too busy? Years ago, an old preacher spoke these wry words into my soul. If the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. It rings true, doesn't it? Isn't that the story of today's text, at least one of the stories? The invited guests were too busy. I'm imagining myself getting this gracious invitation to such a marvelous banquet. I might say something like, I'm 58 days into an 89-day marathon, also known as the Gospel Series, and I've got to keep pressing on. Please excuse me. Many of the guests, now including me, are effectively turning in our regrets with the same excuse. I'm too busy. But let's dig a little deeper under this excuse. It's not the field or the oxen or the new wife or the 31 remaining chapters of the Gospels that's the problem, is it? There are 50 more of those pressing matters all around us all the time, and they're all the same. The I'm too busy with a fill-in-the-blank reason all have one thing in common just under the surface. It's another way, the other way we say I'm too busy. You know what it is. Say it with me. I don't have time. And that's actually the lie. We all have time. And we all have exactly the same amount of time. The issue is not too much to do and not enough time. The issue is priority. Here is what we are really saying to Jesus, the master and host of the great banquet. You are not my priority. And the sooner we have the audacity to say that to his face, is the sooner we can amend our ways. You see, this is an awakening text. It's a wake-up call story. We have a lot of important, we all have a lot of important and essential and good things to do, including managing our stuff, our fields, tending to our work, the oxen, and caring for our families, the spouse. And the point of the story is not to say stuff and work and family is not important. The point of the story is to say, if you miss the banquet, none of that will have mattered. The point of the story is to declare and demonstrate an absolute, all-out, singular priority that pervades and persists through every iota of every aspect of our whole lives. You should go back and read that one again. Here's the priority. It sounds like this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given, added unto you. That's Matthew 6:33. That's another way of saying, Jesus, I belong to you in every way, in all things. You see, it's not choosing Jesus over your family. It's bringing your family to the great banquet with you. It's not choosing Jesus over your work. It's bringing your employees to the great banquet with you. Jesus is not ranked as one among many things. He is placed at the very center of all things. It's not God first, family second, work third, as some often think. It's making Jesus priority in my family and Jesus priority in my work and Jesus priority in my wealth and Jesus priority in my health and my leisure and every other possible category in life. Everybody is invited to the banquet. They just don't know it yet. Go to the banquet and take as many people as you can with you. Now, here's the twist in the story. While we may be the landowner or the employer or the spouse in this story, we are meant to play another character in this story. Any guesses? And one more bit. This is why you are, and I am, always in a hurry. It's so easy to lose the priority. And once you lose the priority, you lose the plot. And once you lose the plot, you lose your purpose. And once you lost your purpose, you've lost. So slow down. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord of the great banquet. Not only will I be there at the banquet, I'm going to become one of your servants who delivers your invitations and who gives my time in the midst of my everyday life to making sure your house is full for the party. By your grace, we will make heaven crowded. And I'm going to slow down, I promise. It will be for your glory, for others' gain, and for my good, and in your name, Jesus. Amen. Journal prompts, because I know you're journaling. So, are you too busy? Do you not have enough time? If so, how do you relate to and receive the rebuke? Gentle, but rebuke no less about your priority. I'm struggling with it myself. And what does a reset look like and a recalibration of pace? You know, it's the good things that often become the enemy of the great thing. I think that's part of what's going on in this story. And you know, the way the story unfolds is the landowner says, just go out into the highways and the byways, bring the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, fill up my house. And they go and they get all them and they say, there's still room. There's still room. It's a powerful story. And it's so easy to find ourselves on the wrong side of it. Filled up with so many good things, our life, our family, our work, our career, even in the work that we're doing in the church, it just can become so many good things that we're missing the great thing, which is the great banquet that we've all been invited to. And really, our role as the servants, that's our character, the servants. So I hope that you're hearing what I'm saying. It's easy to sort of enter into kind of a self-condemnation over this kind of thing. If that's how you're feeling, then that's just a sign we're all doing it wrong today. That's not what I mean to do, and it's certainly not what Jesus means to do. You know, he basically says, if this feels too hard to you, it's a sign you're doing it wrong. And then he resets. He says, come to me. Come to me. Get away with me. Listen to me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's why I say if it feels too hard, that's the first sign we're doing it wrong. And I'm putting myself under that lens today. And yeah, there are seasons where you just gotta, the ox gets in the ditch, right? And you gotta get the ox out of the ditch. You gotta keep plowing. But in the ways I've been sharing lately, just about my own pace, and I've heard from many of you, you're struggling in the same way. Sometimes it's just knowing when you gotta just finish this leg of the race, but you got to find a better way. And just another word, I've heard that whole I'm going to put Jesus first, and then I'm going to put, you know, my family second, and I'm going to put my work third. And that's well-intended, but let me just challenge you on it. It doesn't mean anything. Like, how you're going to, You're going to switch over from Jesus to your family, and then you're going to switch over to your work? No, the issue is not hierarchically ranking priorities. It's having a singular priority. In fact, you can't even, it's absurd that you could even make a plural out of that word. It's not priorities. It's only one thing can be prior, and that one thing must be prior in all things. That's the point. Put Jesus at the center, and everywhere you go, he'll be at the center. He'll be at the center of your family. He'll be at the center of your work. He'll be at the center of your wealth, your holdings, your ambitions. This is what becoming a disciple of Jesus is all about. This is what, when he says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. We talked about that a few days ago. It's Jesus, I belong to you. I'm no longer my own. I'm under new management now. I'm seeing, I'm looking at everything through the lenses of your kingdom, of your eyes, of your ambitions, of your priority. That's what the Gospels are meant to do, is to align us like that, to get his mind in our mind. His heart is our heart. His hands is our hands. It's Jesus in us, right? I think you get my point. I won't belabor it anymore today. I hope that you hear this as encouraging, because it's just a subtle shift. It's often not, you know, repentance, we often think of it as the metanoia, right? The 180-degree turn. And certainly that's often in order when we first come to the Lord. It's a 180-degree turn. But once you're following Jesus, repentance doesn't stop. It's often just a slight degree off of center. And repentance means coming back to center. It means bringing it back into alignment. And that's often a little bit more sophisticated and can be more challenging. It's not so obvious all the time. But that's why we just keep saying, Jesus, take the wheel, right? You're leading, I'm following. And he's like, thanks for that. And that's an everyday thing. It's a constant readjustment. It's a constant orientation. All right, we're going to sing. I'm going to have Dad with me. We're going to sing some this week with him. It's good to be back in the Seed House here in Gillette. We're going to sing 592, Oh Jesus, I Have Promised. Are you ready? 592, four verses with our hymnal. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, nor wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is ever near. I see the sights that dazzle, the tempting sounds I hear. My foes are ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still. Above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, speak to reassure me, to hasten or control. Oh, speak and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Last verse. O Jesus, thou hast promised to all who follow thee that where thou art in glory, there shall thy servant be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. O give me grace to follow my master and my friend. You know what? I think I sang the wrong hymn tune to that hymn, but it worked. That's the beauty of metrical hymns and hymn tunes. I think it worked. It felt right to me, even though as I was looking at the notes, I'm like, I'm going where these notes aren't going. Just so you know, I know. But we're not going to do it again. We're gonna save it, and we'll do it again, and maybe we'll figure out the right tune for it, at least the one listed in the hymnal. Maybe I'm totally wrong. This just shows you guys, I'm a rough draft, and I'm pressing on. And I know many of you feel the same way. We're rough drafts. We're wet clay. We're in process. Jesus is bringing to completion the good work that he started in you and in me. So let's just have grace for ourselves and for each other. And, you know, when people see that, that's what makes them want to go to the banquet. When they see people whose life is carrying a priority in and throughout all the circles they're in, they're consistent, they're aligned, maybe they're making a little bit of a weave here and there, but they're going to the destination. They know where they're going. They know who they are. When people see that kind of person, they're like, that's what I've been looking for. I want to go to the party they're going to. And guess what? You got a handful of invitations to invite them and to say, let's go. We're going. That's what seeds are. They're invitations to the great banquet. Let's sow them today. Okay? I'll be looking for you on the field for the great awakening. I'm J.D. Walk.